Today is the day that the American astronauts land on the moon. The whole of this week has been increasingly dominated by the moon excursion by the astronauts. The only British news being that John Freeman has refused to attend the launching. I suppose he felt it was too undignified. And we, of course, over here in the government, I suppose we are really delighted to have the limelight office now, lovely weather and astronauts. And here I am reflecting on it. On Friday night, we stayed up with our coloured television in the drawing room. The coloured television now is in the window. We've split the gramophone one side, the colouring on the other, and our lovely new sofas and chairs. They make the most wonderful room to sit and listen or view in. And there we had a whole two-hour programme on the universe. What was it called? The Violent Universe. It was a wonderful title, and it was just showing us the sense that the universe just consists of vast amounts of gas blowing off, infinity in a really deep sense of the word. Light year, millions of light years away, however far you go, more gas blowing off. It was a universe of violence, of eruption, of explosion, in which, as it was shown, it's inevitable that sooner or later indeed, life on this planet will be wiped out when a star explodes and the gas sweeps across and sweeps us up. After it, Anne and I, we don't often argue about things. We lay, it was a hot, lovely hot, it was a hot, stuffy night, and we lay there on our bed above the blankets, no blankets on actually, and then we then discussed the meaning of this. What? Because, of course, the program was all about whether the universe is started with a bang or whether it was a level, a steady balance, the Hoyle theory and the other theory. And I said, well, these are all just, they're futile questions. They're questions about the whole of it. But the one thing we get clear is there is no whole which we can grasp. There is no comprehensive thing. Things are further away than ever, more meaningless than ever. And it becomes even more meaningless to think of a God who conceived and planned all this purposefully. One can look at life on this planet purposefully and try and imagine that no one but a mind could have planned the way that each has come. But when we see that life here is an accident, that it will be wiped off the same way it came, by accident, by gases blowing through, what does one conclude from all that? What comfort does it give one? I don't think it makes any difference really, and of course I know that my philosophy was tightly produced before I was 25. I had formulated a philosophy of life which explained to me why the questions of religion, why the questions about immortality and God's existence were literally meaningless, why metaphysics were meaningless. And having got that clear in my mind, I've always applied it now to what I call semi-metaphysical explanations of scientific data, such as these great debates. And of course, if this debate hadn't been there, the program would have just gone on and on describing. What did it describe? Well, it described vast human ingenuity and vast expense being spent by the human race in picking up tiny fragments of knowledge, fascinating tiny fragments at enormous expense, with inordinate skill to understand more about something, where in a sense more is meaningless, because when you have an infinite universe, then a tiny piece of finite knowledge about it is infinitely worthless or infinitely valuable. And there it is.